And it is my pleasure here this morning to introduce very good friends of the Hills Christian Family Centre, and indeed Judy and myself, and many of you here who have known Pastor Ian and Chris Miller for, well, probably longer than us, really, but it's great to have them with us here today. Ian and Chris were at the Christian Family Centre at Seton for 20 years before they felt the call to go to Sydney and plant a church in the year 2000, which turned out to be a temporary assignment. I don't know if you'd call it a diversion, a distraction, to get you out of Adelaide and into Sydney, because shortly after that followed the appointment of Ian and Christine as the lead ministers at Community Church Hornsby, where they have been ministering now for 14 years. So Ian and Chris, Judy and I got to the Christian Family at Seton at the start of 97. 1 year later, David and Irina Smythe and about 70 folks left and came here. And then 2 years later, Ian and Chris left. So we thought, well, okay, what have we done wrong? But it wasn't about us, apparently. It was about God doing something in the Holy Spirit, apparently. So that was great. But it's been a joy just to see what's been happening in their ministry in Community Church Hornsby, as well as in many other places around Australia, and to see a really powerful move of the Holy Spirit in that church, but also in and through their ministry. And it's been an absolute joy. Some of you would have seen the clip that we played last week about Ian's ministry in relation to healing clinics. So I'm not going to say too much more, because the reason you're here is so that you can talk, not me. So folks, please put your hands together and welcome Pastor Ian Miller to the platform.
Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for having us. Looking forward to spending this morning with you, this afternoon with a lot of the leaders, and tonight. So that's going to be great. Hey, you got to help me out here, because I'm having a culture shock right now. We are so multicultural over where we are that this church just feels really white. So if I end up just looking over at some new Aussies, then you're just going to help me out here, because I feel very uncomfortable. I don't actually. I feel really comfortable. So one of the things that happens in our very multicultural church is that a lot of things that don't happen in white church happens in our church. So people call back all the time. Anglos, when Anglos are like, hear something that's really important or powerful, Anglos tend to go, non-Anglos tend to just yell out. So if you feel like at any stage today that you want to yell out, that will it might make everybody else feel uncomfortable, but it will actually make me feel welcome. So if you just said, yeah, that's really good, Ian, or just, if you know, just you're allowed to say that, please someone say that. Just would be really nice. Yeah, that's really, that kind of works for me big time. Here's a picture of our, this kind of gets lost a little bit. It looks better on this screen. It looks really awesome on that screen. You should all just come down here and I'll go up there and you can just look at that screen. I want to take you to a passage, and it's up on the screen right now, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. If I was going to give this message a name, I would call it Lighting Fires. I kind of feel like that's my role in the church, is to go around and light fires. So whenever I go to other churches, I particularly, and I don't know if you realise this, David and Judy, but Ian and Chris have come along to light some fires. So up in the Adelaide Hills, it's like fire kind of works for you guys, doesn't it? Jesus said this up on the screen, "You are the light of the world." He didn't say you should be. He didn't say you could be. He said you actually are. This is who you are. You are the light of the world. Well, hang on a second. I thought that was Jesus. I thought, you know, it's all about him. Yeah, it is. But because he's the light of the world, then you, made in his image and carrying him with you, you therefore are also the light of the world. You need to know who you are. You know, otherwise the whole world just dictates to you and you just think that you are at the behest of everything that comes against you. You need to know that there is something powerful about you and that God has put you on planet Earth for a reason. You need to know that you matter. You really do matter. Like, we almost had a horror story when we went to Sydney coming from Adelaide. Because the housing prices in Sydney are just nothing like the housing prices in Adelaide. And we were just like, oh, just incredible. You know, we sold our home down at West Beach, a kilometre from the beach, and we bought a run-down, dilapidated ex-RTA rental that had at its back fence the M2 motorway. And it was just a phenomenally much more than what our beautiful stone, you know, the basket range stone homes down, just like, if we went to this place and it's just like, and the price differential between the two was like that. I found out something. I found out that if you want to know the value of a property, then you need to go to the market to find out what the value of your property is. Because I found out that that the government will send around, they do their surveys and they let you know every other year or so what they think your house is worth, and it's worth about this. And then if you go to the bank because you want to buy it, and then they do their valuation is about here. If you spoke to the real estate agent, they think that the value of the house is about here, but the real value of the house is what it sells for, is what someone is prepared to pay for it. You need to know that you're the light of the world. You can go and get your value based on Old Testament. You can go to the law and find out your value. And your value, as far as the law is concerned, is that you're worthless. There is nothing in you of value. If you base your value on the law, on how perfect you are, on how good you are, if you base your value on what other people think about you, then it will come up here. Do you want to know your real value is what the market is prepared to pay for you? Father God paid everything for you. That's your value. That's your value. It's got nothing to do with whether or not what you think in your head you are worth. You're going to the wrong market. If you think your value is down here, when Father God gave his only son for you, my goodness me, you are underselling your dad. You're underselling Heavenly Father. Because he thinks that you are absolutely worth it. He's not an idiot. He doesn't say, "Oh, look, it's just worthless people, but I'll just give my best." You know, just because I'm just so rich that that's just not him. God so loved the world. I'm learning a lot of things in some years. Once you hit 50. Dave, once you hit 50, that's when you start to learn.
It hasn't happened.
And my life lesson to you after you hit 50 is one word. It's called denial.
It's already started.
So I'm believing to live for 120 years.
Amen.
That means that midlife doesn't even start until 60. So I'm still a kid. That's all fine with me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Did you hear the words? It can't be hidden. Not it shouldn't be hidden. It can't. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. No one does that. If you're the light of the world, you were lit by somebody.
Yeah. That's right.
Papa God lit you. He did not stick you under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Okay, just really, really quickly, just two little meditation points, just thoughts on that one. It's a city on a hill and it's a lampstand in a home. You're the light of the world in two arenas. You're the light of the world in the city. You're a light in the world in your workplace. You're a light in the world in your community. You're a light of the world when you go down the shops, just in your community, in your neighbourhood. Okay, you're a light of the world. That's it. It's who you are. You're not hidden. You actually do shine. So go for it. Put some faith in there. Mix faith in with how you live. Realise that this is who you are, irrespective of whether or not you think you're worthy, irrespective of whether or not you think you're shiny or whatever, just accept that this is who you are and start to shine. Okay, so you're the light of the world in the city and also in a home. Because some of you, everyone in your home is Christian, but I guarantee with a room this many people in it, some of you go home and it's not all beer and Skittles at home. Okay, just that it might be. Like, you are a lamp in your home. There's a message of hope. There's a promise in there for somebody in this room.
That's right.
That when you go home, you make a difference because it's you.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just me. I'm just like I'm not. No, hang on a second. You're the light of the world. Change the way you think. Change what you think your value is. You're incredible. You're an incredible person. So I remember I was at an executive meeting with all these pastors, okay? So we were in regional New South Wales. So it's freezing cold. It's May, and May in Narendra is, if you know Narendra, it is. Oh, I suppose I can't talk to you guys about cold. It was warm. It was a mild summer evening. And we finished our meeting. We're going to go and have a meal down at a local restaurant somewhere, and it is blowing a gale, and it is freezing, and we're walking along. There's all of us pastors. We're walking down the street, and I've got my hands in my pockets. I'm just like, you know. And this lady comes out of a car park, and she's got one of those walking sticks. You know, they're not crutches, but they're the ones that sort of like they hang on to your arm, you know, so you hold on to this thing and, you know, she's got one of them and she is obviously in pain. And we're walking along. And I don't know what the other guys are thinking, but I'm just thinking, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, I really love that lady. I really care what she's going through. What are you going to do about it? And I'm just like, I'm the light of the world. And I'm thinking, it is freezing. So what am I going to do? Just stop this lady. Oh, excuse me, I just noticed you're in a lot of pain there. Just like, it's freezing. Now she's not only in a lot of pain, but she's also slowly becoming solid. You know, just like it's not a particularly caring thing to do. I've discovered that God loves people and he respects people and he doesn't want to do things that are clunky and awkward it's not about me. There's actually a suffering woman just here. This is about her. So this is not going to be comfortable to stop this woman in the middle of this absolute gale and freezing. And I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? I suppose you never think that way when the Holy Spirit just drops a little thought. Go over and say something to that person. Like, if you're like me, then suddenly you have this amazing conversation going on in your head. Do you?
Yes.
Oh, just, I was just wondering if it was me, and then I just thought, maybe I shouldn't be preaching. Anyway, I'm just thinking, well, God, how do I actually... I'm okay to go up and talk to someone I don't know, but, like, this is just not a really... this isn't nice. Well, she turns into a building, and I notice that we all turn in after her, and I'm thinking, she's going to the same restaurant. I'm thinking, cool, okay, it's like, I get it, Lord, it doesn't get better than this. This is about as easy as this is going to be. And so we're all waiting there to be seated, and, you know, and so I just went up to her, and I'm just like, hey, I noticed that you're really struggling. Like, are you in pain? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I said, what happened? And she said, I had an operation 6 months ago, and my sciatica has just flared up. She said, it's just so bad. And I'm like, really? I said, has anybody offered to pray for you? And she just looked at me and she said, no. And I said, would you like me to? I would love to pray for you. It would only take me 10 seconds. And, you know, I'm trying to care for her. This is how I would talk to someone in our church. You know, I care about when someone is in pain. You know, has anyone thought to pray for you? Because a lot of times people, like, they just don't offer. And look, I have no idea who this lady is. She might be a Christian, she might not. I have no idea. She might not know any Christians, so no one's offered to pray for her. So if it's not some random stranger on the street, no one's going to do this. So I'm just like, she's just like, oh. I said, it only take me 10 seconds. I said, I'd love to pray for you. And she said, oh, okay then. Now, as soon as I said that, I had like a mental image in my head of a hand being laid just there on the lower part of her back. It just felt that would be a wrong thing to do. I wasn't going to do it. Like, you know, if it was someone that I knew, I probably would have said to Judy, Judy, do you mind if I just put my hand where the pain actually is? You know, I probably would have said that. But this is a random stranger, and this is already weird enough for her. So I see that, but I saw this image just of a hand being placed there, and I'm just thinking, I can't do that. So what I did is, in my 10-second prayer, I just quietly just touched her hand. I figured that would be safe enough because I'm only going to do it with the tips of my... And, like, she's a little bit older than me, so it kind of just felt like this, that would be respectful. And I said, I prayed the prayer. I said, how are you? She says, oh, thank you. And I'm just like, just check it out. Like, how is it? And she said, no, she said, it's still exactly the same. But thank you very much. Thank you so much for caring. And then she was taken over to her table. And, like, I mean, that was a good encounter. It was a good encounter. Because if she happens to meet a Christian down the track, then suddenly I've just set that Christian up. Because at least she thought I was nice. I can't guarantee that someone's going to get better, but I can guarantee that they will feel that someone loved them.
That's good. Amen.
I can guarantee that. And that's all about me and my approach. Okay, so I can guarantee that. So I can set up the next Christian who's going to talk to her or whatever. Anyway, I go and I'm eating my meal. And I'm just, you know, and there's all these pastors around me, and I just check out of the conversation for a while. I'm sure none of you do that, but it could be that it's a guy thing. I don't know, but I checked out of the conversation, and I'm eating my meal, and I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, could we just have a debrief about that? Yeah, I'd love to do a debrief with you. And just by the by, I found out that the Holy Spirit loves doing debriefs with people. He loves it. You'd be surprised how quick he answers. So I'm just sitting there and in the restaurant, and I'm saying, could we just have a debrief about that? Yeah, I'd love to have a debrief about that, Ian. I kind of figured you were in that. Yeah, I was. You saw her. I highlighted it to you and you saw it. Well done. I'm just like, yeah, but I was kind of expecting that something would happen. Like nothing would happen. And, you know, it's like, it's not like at church where I'm going to be able to press in and pray and pray and pray and pray. It's just like it was never going to be like that. So I'm just a little bit confused. Just like, is there something, if Jesus had been there, is there something that he would have done different? And immediately he says, yeah. Did you notice I showed you a hand being placed on where her pain was? I'm just like, yeah, I did see that, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that because that would have been inappropriate. And he said, yeah, you could have got her husband to do it. I'm like, of course. It's just like, I burst out laughing. I'm just sitting there eating my meal and I just said, oh, gosh, you idiot. I just saw a hand on there. I just assumed it was mine. That God was saying, put your hand up there. I didn't think that it actually could have been her husband putting his hand on there. He's not a believer, but I've watched stuff like Finger of God and some of those movies that follow like evangelists out on the street and they have double miracles happen because not only does this person get better, but their non-Christian friend actually was the one that God used to bring the healing, and so double miracle happens and gives opportunity for sharing the gospel. It's just amazing. And so I've actually seen it, but I'm just like, I'll learn that lesson, won't I? I'm eating my meal, and later on, I see there's a lady down on that table down there, and I swear that I've seen her before. And I've got a near photographic memory for faces. And I have no idea who it is. And so I'm talking to the pastor who lives in that area. And so, do you know that lady? Yeah, I know that lady. Just like, I feel like I know her. Well, she's so-and-so. Didn't ring a bell. Where's she from? Nothing is ringing a bell. And I'm just like, after a while, I'm just like, you know what? I don't mind being the nut. So I just went over to that table and just started talking to her. I was just like, excuse me, this is like completely random, but I feel like I know you. Just like, you know, and there's not a pickup line or anything. She said, believe me, just like, so how do we know each other? And we're just talking history and like we have nothing in common. Just like, I probably don't know this woman. It was just a fun conversation. You know, this completely random thing just happened in the restaurant. I get up from the table and here is the woman and her husband. They're leaving now. And I'm right there near the door. And I said to her, oh, hey, how's your pain going? She's just like, no, it's really, really bad. And I said, look, I don't want to be embarrassing, but could I just pray one more time? I said, I'd just really love to pray for you. Would that be all right? And she said, yeah, that'd be okay. I looked at her husband. I mean, I take it you're not, but I'm just for the point of the illustration. This is not prophecy, okay? Okay, disclaimer right up front. So I looked at him and I said, would you want to just put your hand where your wife's pain is? I said, because Jesus used to do that all the time. And he's just like, he's just looking at me like, this is really weird. He puts his hand there and I'd asked her, if 0 is no pain and 10 is you're screaming, what's the level of pain? It was 8. Okay, so she's suffering. I'm just like, said, Okay, put your hand there. And I stood here and I prayed, 10-second prayer. I said, how is it? Just check it out. She goes, oh. And she's just like, it's a lot better. And I said, what do you mean a lot better? I said, it was 8 out of 10 pain before. What is it now? And she's just like, 4. She said, it hasn't been this good for like ages. And I said, that's so good. I said, let's pray again. Shall we pray again? And she's like, yes. And I said, keep your hand there. And he's just, you know. And she gets, while I'm praying, I feel the Holy Spirit say something about her right, her left knee. So while I'm praying, and I just pointed at her left knee, and I said, and just thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing here, and just and that left knee too, you be healed right now in Jesus' name. Just check it. And she's just like, how'd you know my knee? And I just like, well, the Holy Spirit, just, it was a guess. Okay, that's what it felt like inside. It was the Holy Spirit, but it felt like a guess. And just said it out just because it just came into my head. So I said it. And she's just like, she's completely healed.
Amen.
Her back is completely healed. Her knee is completely healed. And her husband is just blown away. I'm just like, how amazing is that? I said, that happened through your hand. I said, Jesus loves you guys so much. He loves you so much. You know, all that stuff you've heard about Jesus, it's all real. It's true. He loves you so much. Just started to share the gospel with them. And I said, like, they have to go now. And I'm just like, is there anything else that I can pray for you? And the husband now, he's just like, yeah, actually, you could pray for our kids, our two boys. Oh, what's going on with your boys? And it just starts to list off the family problems that they're facing at home. And they live in Melbourne. And you know, and they were just coming through on their way from Queensland, stopped at this place just for overnight. You're the light of the world.
That's right.
Now, I know that most of you in this room are not healing evangelists. Neither am I. But that woman was in need there, and there was no healing evangelist in the whole town. If it's not the light of the world, who is it? It's me. I used to have this philosophy that basically said, well, it really sucks that I'm the Christian here for you, because what you actually need is a healing evangelist, and I'm a teacher. Like, if you wanted to understand a Bible verse, I would have explained it to you really well. But you don't want to understand a Bible verse. You need healing, and you need an evangelist, and that's just not me. That used to be my philosophy until I realized that I'm it. In this encounter here, I'm it. I'm the light of the world. I need to shine.
That's right.
And I need to shine.
That's good.
And I might not be as good as somebody else. And like I told the story, because at the front of the story, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Okay? And a lot of people, that just, when nothing happens, they just go home and they just think, I'm never doing that again. You know? I really thought God was in it. But he wasn't. You know, I obviously am no good at this, you know. And it's just like, you just don't stop. You just realize that we're here for a purpose. God didn't save you just so that you could get married, have kids, have a nice job and a home, and then that's it. Like, we're here for a mission.
That's right.
If there was no mission, then he'd call us all home. Jesus would come back if there was no mission. There's a job to do. So if you want to go to the verse, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2, this is one of my favourite verses at the moment. Then he called his 12 disciples. I have no idea what the time is. This is a scary church to preach in. I mean, it's not scary for me. This is scary for you.
Just keep preaching.
Just because, like, I have no idea what the time is. One of our pastors just came back from India. He said, I have now been in an 11-hour meeting. And I said, I'm up for that. No, there was no amens to that. I just... Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Wow. I mean, does that mess with you? Like, does Jesus still do that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Like, he's the same person. What Jesus does today is what he did back then. He's no different. He is the same person. He has the same goals. He has the same desires, the same hopes. It's all there for him. Does Jesus have power over all demons and to cure diseases? Does Jesus have authority over all demons and to cure diseases? It's important to know that he gave his disciples power and authority. He doesn't just give one or the other. He gives both. There are times where you need the power of God and it's just bam, it's happening right there and you can't, you just, this is out of control. You know, it's just incredible. I have been in a room where the person out the front has just started calling out people's names and they turn out to be there in the room and starts telling them what job they do. And, you know, I was praying with a guy just recently and I said to him, I said, Isaiah 40:31 is your verse. It's your promise. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and never faint. Did I get that right? Isaiah 40:31. And I'm just saying, it's your verse. I can see it. It's written all over you. He just looked at me and he said, "It's the name of my business." He actually showed me a photo of it later on. He's a pilot, and his plane. He showed me the photo of it on. Down the side of the plane, up above the windows, is the name of the company. It's called Golden Eagle, and then Golden Eagle Airlines, Isaiah 40:31. Wow. And I'm just like there are sometimes it's just like God is just there, and you're just not going to stop it. It's over the top. Then there are other times where I felt God was there. I felt God was in the room while I was ministering to that guy. But then there are other times where you feel nothing. You absolutely feel nothing. And that's when you step out in authority. So sometimes you're stepping out in power. Sometimes you need to step out in authority. Just because you don't feel that God is there, that doesn't mean that he's not, and that doesn't mean that he's not going to do anything. That's when you step out in authority and you say, this is who I am. I'm the light of the world. I have the Holy Spirit with me. You know, God has given to us power and authority, so not just one or the other. He gives us both. It's more than just authority. A lot of our churches are really big on knowing our position in Christ and the authority of the believer. It's power and authority. It's not just one or the other. You need both. You need both. If there's a problem with us as Christians, is that we gravitate towards the authority bit. We just think that it's all about knowing the word. It's really important to know the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, we say amen to the glory of God. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. That should mess with every one of us. Hang on a second. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I've actually preached messages that say the opposite of that. I'm so glad that people forget messages. Dave, I used to think you were the best preacher under the sun, and I'm not even sure I can remember any of your sermons. it's just like I remember listening to Billy Graham and thinking, David Smyth is better than that. You know, just, but I can't remember any of your messages. I'm so sorry. The only one I remember was when you two guys left Seton. And I remember that, I think, because Narina had those big black glasses on just so that we couldn't see she was crying because she wasn't happy to come up here. Is that right? She's just like, I don't even want to remember those days. But I know that I've preached messages on many of the promises of God have conditions on them. If you meditate on my word, dwell on them day and night, and these words don't depart from your mouth, then your way will be successful. And I've remembered just so many messages that I've picked up on the condition of a lot of promises, and I haven't actually understood what it means to be in Christ, because Jesus has fulfilled every condition for every promise. And where am I? I am in Christ, who has fulfilled all of the promises, all of the conditions. So when I pray my prayer, when you pray your prayer, where are you seated right now?
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places. Where are you? In what? In who?
In Christ.
In Christ. You're in heavenly places, seated in Christ. Where is Christ right now? At the right hand of the Father. Okay, here's the Father, here's Papa God. At his right hand, here is Jesus. Where are you? In Christ. So you pray your prayer to Papa God. Where's Papa God? He's right there. He's sitting here. He hears a prayer coming from his right hand. He turns over. Who's he looking at?
Jesus.
Where are you?
In Jesus.
In Christ. So he sees you too, but he sees you through Christ. And he hears your prayer coming out of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What's Papa God's answer to Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. You're my son in whom I delight. I am so proud of you. Yes. Where are you? In Christ. You're my son. You're my daughter in whom I delight. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, well, obviously he's not saying that. Yes, he is. Do you want to know that when the Father said that to the Son, you are my son in whom I love, I am so proud of you. Where did that happen? That happened in the baptism, didn't it? Jesus hasn't done anything yet. You need to know that God is pleased with you before you even started. Before Jesus starts his ministry, it starts with the Father saying, I'm so pleased with you. He hasn't done anything. As soon as you put your hand up, as soon as you received Jesus into your life, as soon as you gave yourself to him, invited him into your world, he was so pleased with you. You've already won. The answer's already yes. You had him. This is it. You had him as soon as you turned to him. You had him. Did you know God so loved the world? Did you know that he loves you? I change my language a lot these days to try and shock this into new revelation for us. Did you know that God is in love with you?
Yes.
He's in love with you. He's in love with you. He's in love with you. He loves it when you sing. He loves it when you worship. He loves it when you pray to him. He loves it when you want to spend time with him and his people. He loves it. He loves it. It's got nothing to do with what you do. It's who you are. You've already won. So he gives them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. I've discovered that we need to discover that. We need to discover that there is power in the gospel. We need to discover that the song that we just sang just before, that just said something about the powerful name, you know, there's no other name above yours, and I can't remember what the words actually were, just like a worship leader is saying, well, thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, it's just like, but it's like, that's real. There is no name above the name of Jesus. Every knee bows before him. Every knee. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. There is no demon in hell that can stand against the matchless name of Jesus. Silver and gold I don't have, but I do have the name of Jesus, which means I've got everything. Like, I mean, we talk about our position in Christ, we got to know what that really means, because that means heaven on earth. Because I'm seated in heavenly places, and look at me right here, I'm here. In Blackwood. Is this Blackwood? Eden Hills. Eden Hills? I just thought you were talking about the rugby for a moment. So the disciples went out and they operated and they reported back to Jesus that even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus is just like, yeah, oh, such a good... So tell me all the stories. And he's just hearing them. He's just like, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. Whoa. I give to you authority, power. I give you authority over everything. Nothing shall by any means harm you. And if you thought that was amazing, you haven't even got the tenth part of it yet, because your names are written in heaven. Like, you just, guys, the world is in front of you. The future is amazing. Ah, thank you, Father, that you've revealed this to children. You didn't reveal it to the wise, to the scholars, to the bigwigs, but to these children who just come back jumping up and down saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It's like, you know, I want to thank you. Such was your good pleasure. Just like, this is amazing. What I found is that when they did that, I didn't understand this next verse that I'm going to put on the screen, Luke 24, verse 49. This is after the resurrection. Jesus says to them, and see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised, which is the Holy Spirit, okay? So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He gave them a great commission. He told them to go and do what he's been doing and go out and do what he does. Be the light of the world, because he's the light of the world. And he says, but I want you to stay in Jerusalem till you're clothed with power from on high. And it's just like, it's not up on the screen, but Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. So it's kind of like you need the power of the Holy Spirit on you, but like, what is it that Jesus is saying to them that they didn't have beforehand? Because back in Luke chapter 9, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and they just went out and proclaimed the kingdom and they healed the sick. It's just like, so what's happening here? And I've discovered this. If there is someone in your world who is super anointed at something, and if you just start doing life side by side with them and you're actually walking with them, I've discovered that you actually start operating under their anointing. It's like they're anointed for something. You know, like they're anointed to heal the sick. But when you're with them, it's all of a sudden it just starts to happen. You know, just like I've been down the street with an evangelist friend and he's talking to somebody and after a while he says, do you know what my friend does? And he's pointing at me and I'm dying right now because I thought I was just watching the evangelist do his evangelism. And he says, do you know what my friend does? And the guy just says, no, what? He says, he prays for people who are sick or in pain and God does miracles. Are you in pain or sick or anything right now? Just like, and he'll pray for you. It'll only take him 10 seconds. I'm just like, I'm freaking out right now. And the guy just says, yeah, actually, I've got really bad neck. Oh, okay. And she says, well, my mate will do it. I'm just like, and he says, okay. That guy's confused. I'm confused. The only one who's confident is the evangelist. And he's just laughing because he can see that I'm squirming. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And I'm just thinking, I'll just do what I do in church. I lay hands on. So I just said, where is it sore? He just said there. I said, how long you had it? 6 months. Is it like what happened? Oh, I had a boating accident. Oh, is it really bad? Yeah, it's really, really bad. Like if zero is no pain and 10 is you got to go to hospital, what is it? He says 9. And like people are in pain and you don't realize how much pain they're in. And I'm just like, so I'm just there. I'm just like, look, would you mind if I just put my hand on where it hurts? I said, because Jesus used to do that kind of stuff all the time. Yeah, that'd be all right. So I put my hand there and I suddenly feel like I'm going to pray in tongues. It's Sydney, so you can get away with that because everyone speaks in different languages anyhow. So, but I just don't weird him out. And I just said, look, sometimes when I pray, I actually like to pray in my mother language. And, you know, or I call it my heart language or my father language. Like it just, you know, just like, I said, so that wouldn't weird you out, would it? No, that's all right. Just, he doesn't know it's tongues. He doesn't need to know. And I'm just like, but I've only got 10 seconds. So I prayed about 2 seconds of tongues and I just said, neck, you be healed right now in Jesus' name. I don't pray for sick people. I don't pray for people in pain. Jesus didn't say to pray for them. I don't talk to the Father, I talk to the sickness. Because that's what Jesus used to do. He used to say, be healed, be cleansed, just. So he used to talk to the situation. He didn't pray to the Father. That was in his devotional time that filled him up. So I just did that. I'm just like, bones, you settled, you just come back into alignment right now. Any muscles or tendons that have been torn or whatever, you just come back and you be healed right now in pain. No more in Jesus' name be healed. And they're just like, how is it? The guy just swore. Like he wasn't a Christian, and he swore, not a nice swear word either, just because he's just shocked because he's completely better.
Thank you,
instantly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I found that when I'm walking beside somebody who is anointed, I get to operate under their anointing. And I found out that that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He's anointed. Jesus carries all the anointing. And he says, I give to you power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Go and preach the kingdom. So they go out there and they're operating under that anointing. It's his anointing. If that anointing happened to him when the Holy Spirit came on him in bodily form like a dove. Okay, then he says to them, okay, I'm going to go to the Father now. You need to get your own. You need to get your own. Tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get our own. Because you need anointing. I've learnt that you can walk beside somebody and operate under their anointing. And if you walk with them long enough, it starts to rub off. And there's something really powerful with the laying on of hands. Impartation of gifts happens with the laying on of hands. That's real biblical kind of stuff. Timothy had spiritual gifts because Paul laid hands on him. The apostles went up to Samaria and laid hands on the believers there so that they'd receive the Spirit and speak in other languages. And it's like it all started to happen for them. We're going to do that tonight. It's going to be a prophetic time tonight. If you need to hear from God, I'm just feeling like God all over me and Chris at the moment for prophetic words. So that's going to happen. If you have never been filled with the Spirit, you would love to have your own heart language, because you know what it's like. There are times where you want to pray and you've just run out of words. Your heart hasn't finished yet, but your head doesn't know what to say, and you don't want to just rabbit on, okay? But you know that you haven't finished. Jesus wants to give you a language to help you out there. And so that's just going to break you through into a whole new level. If you've never experienced that, tonight that's going to happen. I want to finish with this one thought. Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. It's up on the screen. The gifts that Jesus gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I want to tell you right now that there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, and there are teachers, and their role is not to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. That's not their job. Their job is to equip the rest of us. The teacher's job is to equip us to know how to disciple the person beside us. We're all meant to be teachers. That was Paul's problem when he wrote to the Christians, the Hebrews. Like, you know, I've got to take you back to milk. You should all be teachers by now. Like, you just, like, we're supposed to, we may not be the person who is the Bible scholar, but we all can lead somebody. Someone's just a young Christian. We all can disciple them and train them in the ways of the Spirit. Pastors. Pastors are really, really, really good at caring for people. But they're not, their primary role is not to care for the people. Did you know that? Their primary role is to teach us, the rest of us, how to actually care for people. Because if you're like me, you don't have a really big tank full of compassion. If you want that, you definitely go and see Pastor David Smythe. Yeah, he's your compassion man. Just like, he could tell you some stories. You know, I remember Dorothy Redmond lying after on the floor, bleeding after falling down a flight of stairs. David cradling her head and caressing her face, and Ian saying to her, "Dorothy, you're bleeding like a stuck pig." You're just like, the pastors are there to show us what they do and to teach us so that the body can care for each other. The evangelist is not there to do the evangelism. They're really good at it. Their job is to show us and equip us to do what they do. Because I've found out that I might be a one-talent evangelist. I'm not a 10-talent evangelist. And all of us in this room, I don't know how many are here, but if, let's say, we're all one talent evangelists, then there's a lot of talents here in this room. Yeah. And we are together, we are much more powerful than a 10 talent evangelist. Yeah. Because there's more than 10 of us here in this room. That's right. So the prophet is there to teach us how to hear the voice of the Spirit, how to get those pictures, how to lean into them and recognize that that was the Spirit talking to me, how to actually have the debrief and have that being a meaningful time, you know, rather than just one-way traffic, you know. The apostle is the one who teaches us to be sent, teaches us to be empowered by the Spirit to bring heaven to earth. I'm going to close just there. What's the time? 11:45. So I've shot my time. So this is what I'm going to do, because I would love You're nodding. So I'm just going to say that's the next thing that you're going to do is to purchase a clock.
It's somewhere, isn't it? It's in the desk.
Now, the IT people, like you guys are really clever. I am not. You guys are clever and actually can put a little thing on this so that there's... Don't let them see it. Okay, because then they're just counting down the minutes and it's just like... Okay. You're going to need to close the service because you've got kids. If you're a parent, you've got kids and we'll do that. How many people here are sick or in pain right now? Just want to stick your hand up. Keep your hand up if you would love to actually get some prayer and ministry for this right now. Okay? Yep. This is what we're going to do. I'd like to actually release some of you guys. Do you mind if we do this?
No.
Like, is this all right?
Yeah.
Do you want me to, like, say to people that they can go right now if they want to?
I'll do that if you want.
You do that right now, and then I'll keep going.
That's fine. Right. Okay. Okay, folks, you can go. No. Look, obviously, if you've got your kids in children's ministry this morning, we are going to transition now into a time of prayer ministry. So if you need to go and get them and move on with the rest of your day, then you are welcome to do that right now. Are we going to start morning tea and at least have that on offer for folks who are moving out? Maybe we're going to do that now. So that's going to be open as well. So if those who are looking after, if they could go and have that operating as well. So thank you for being with us this morning. Those of you who need to go now and either have a break and have some refreshments or collect your kids, thank you very much. Don't forget our gathering tonight at the Coach House at 7:30 with Ian and Christine and the ministry there. You're most welcome to attend that, so we would love you to be there. And if there is anyone here who can help take those boxes to where they need to go this week and collect them all up sometime in the next hour, that would be fantastic if you could help us look after that. So, folks, if that's you, maybe if we all just get to our feet, stretch our legs, and those of us who need to move out now and have a breather or collect our kids, you can go right now and do that immediately. And for everyone else who wants to stay and either receive prayer or be prayed for or pray for others while we're here, then we can do that right now. Thank you. God bless you. And it's over to Ian.
Okay. Thank you. So the rest of you grab a seat.